my soul has been anchored in the Lord. Because if you anchor your soul in anything else but the Lord, you in trouble. If you anchored in the sand, it's going to get pulled away. If you anchored in the water, it's going to get washed away. But my soul is anchored in the Lord. Come on, let's give these men a hand praise. It's good. It is so good to have the male chorus back with us. Indeed, enjoy to hear their voices and to see them stand before this church singing about the good news of Christ and what God is doing in all of our lives. Amen. Amen. First, I'd like to first thank God for this opportunity to stand before you on today. I certainly never count myself worthy of this amazing opportunity. And I'm glad my best friend, my good friend, for almost 40 years is joining me today. That's my wife, Brenda. I'm glad that she's here with me. You know, last night, you know, we got a chance to go hang out at the movies. And movie theaters have changed so much, y'all. I sat there, ordered some hamburgers, ordered some fries. People bring you the stuff now. They got recliners and all these things. We just had an awesome time hanging out. So I'm just glad that she's here on this Sunday with me. And I'm so glad to see all of you in this place this morning. You know, as we were having that moment of praise, I realized pretty much the sermon had been done. But for those who travel here a little bit, that need a scripture verse to go along with it, that need something to talk about tomorrow, good or bad. Hope it's all going to be good. The preacher did a great job. I want to share with you for just a few moments of what God has laid on my heart to share with you. And I'll lead in like this. You know, for pretty much for the month of March, we talked about steadfastness. But, you know, April is coming up this week. And there's something really important happening in April. I don't know about basketball and all that other stuff. There might be something happening about that. But I'm talking about that amazing day that's called our Super Bowl. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about Easter. And right, there's no way you lead into Easter without focusing on Jesus. And I know we come here all the time to talk about Jesus, but now I really want to drill it in just a little bit more. Talking about the goodness of the Lord. And for the entire month of April, and starting today, we're going to be talking about the name of Jesus. Oh, somebody should have been shouting right there when I said that. If I were at 6531 Little Ox Road, when I said the name of Jesus, somebody should have said hallelujah. Somebody should have said praise the Lord. Because we know something about the name of Jesus. Am I right about it this morning? Now, if I go to one of those Old Testament and pull out one of those names, they're like, I don't know where the heck he's coming from. But when we say the name of Jesus, something ought to move on the inside. Am I right about it this morning? And I'm just going to be straightforward with you this morning. I'm going to be repetitive. Because there's no way I can talk and not mention Jesus, Jesus, Jesus more than one time. Am I right about it this morning? Because when you start talking about the name of Jesus, it starts to move and you go connecting all these blessings. You start connecting your salvation point to where he brought you from. And his name begins to roll off your tongue. Or at least in my life it does. Do I have a witness in the building this morning? So that being said, we want to go to our text for this morning. And we want to look at Matthew, the 16th chapter. And we're going to begin reading at the 13th verse. Matthew, the 16th chapter. And we're going to start reading at the 13th verse. And I'll be reading to you hearing from the ESV version. The verses should be on the screen behind me. And as you hear pages turning, it's good to hear pages turning, y'all. Heads up, it's the first book of the New Testament. The 13th verse. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Can you back up that one more time for me? I like reading that, y'all. Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Let us pray. Dear God, we pause now, Lord God. We pause at this moment in time, Lord God, to hear what your word is going to speak into our hearts and minds, Lord God. God, help us to remove any distractions that block us from receiving the word of God today, Lord God. Touch our hearts and touch our minds that we might leave this place different than the way we came in. Lord, we pray for those who are with us virtually, Lord God, wherever they may be, we ask that you just touch them right now as they prepare to hear this word that you have poured into the preacher. Lord God, allow me to decrease, that your word would increase. It is in Christ's magnificent name we pray. Amen and amen. I'd like to start off from this particular approach. There are so many important questions that can be asked in this life. There are questions like a child might ask a parent, and that question might be, "Can I have," it's hard to get out, "can I have an allowance?" There might be a question that the officiant of a wedding ask the bride and groom, "Do you take each other to love and to cherish one another all the days of your life?" Those are examples of some important questions. There may be the question that an employee asks the employer, and that is, "Can I have a raise and can I take some time off?" Am I right about it this morning? These are some serious questions a teenager may ask. Can you extend my curfew? These are some important questions in life. But I submit to you, these questions pale in comparison to the real question at hand. Because when you look at these questions, they have more to do about us and what we want to do. But I also submit to you that it's not so much about the question, it's about the answer that's provided to the question. And what I mean by that is, if I go back to, if a child asks for the allowance thing, if you were to tell them no, you might get some attitude. If I go back to the question of when a teenager ask, "Can my curfew be extended?" and you tell them no, there might be some drama that ensues. And the teenager said, "Amen." And the parents said, "Preacher, keep moving." If I go back to the example of where the officiant at a wedding asked the bride and groom, "Do you take this person to be your lawfully wedded?" And one of them says yes, and one of them says no. Somebody call the police. There's about to be some drama going on. If I go back to the example of when the employee asked the employer for a raise or some time off and the employer says no, productivity level is going to go down. Which leads me to the most important question that I think all of us need to ponder and think about. And so I want to leave you with the subject of this morning. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? I believe it's one of the most important questions to be asked in life. But more importantly, it's topped only by the answer that's provided to the question. Somebody say amen this morning. And so as we get ready to dive into Matthew here for just a few more minutes, as always, I want to give you the context of how I arrived here in Matthew. The book of Matthew is one of the Gospels, first book of the New Testament. And now we find ourselves here in this 16th chapter. And if you were to read the verses 1 to 13, you will see an interesting conversation between Jesus and the disciples. And the disciples are arguing about who forgot to bring the bread. Right? Who forgot to bring the Wonder Bread to the party? And then Jesus comes in and says, do you not remember that I fed thousands with a few loaves of bread? Why are you worrying about where is the bread? When I'm talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And that's what leads us into this conversation that we're going to see when Jesus began to ask them two important questions. And he starts off by saying, who do people say I am? I remember the phrase of that question, because it's going to tie really important when I get to the second question. But he asked them the question of, who do people say I am? Some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah. And then in case we didn't get that right, some say one of the other prophets. Amen. We should not be surprised by this response from the disciples when Jesus asked that question. Because I believe that if you and I were to go to our conference room, or we were to be at the airport, or we were to be at some social event other than church, and if we were to ask, even some churches, but I digress, I'll stay on the point. But if we were to go to various locations and ask who was Jesus, I guarantee you would get a lot of different responses. Some might say he's the baby that only shows up on December 25th. Am I right about it this morning? Some might say he's the greatest magician because saw him walking on the water. That's what some might say when asked the questions, who do people say that I am? And they go through this and they listed out some really great people. John the Baptist, we know that John the Baptist, he was the forerunner for Christ, baptizing in the wilderness. But John is no longer with us, y'all. John did not die on the cross. Elijah and Jeremiah were great prophets. But they are no longer with us. They cannot forgive us of our sins. They were not beat and put on the cross. So using those examples, do not even compare to who Christ is. And so Jesus hears them out. And one thing I like about this text is Jesus didn't take that opportunity to criticize their response. Oh, hear me out this morning. He didn't question their theology. He didn't ask, what kind of church have y'all been going to if y'all think that about me? He didn't say, what YouTube channel have you been listening to come up with that kind of conclusion? Are y'all following me this morning? Amen. So when we reach out to people, no matter what their response is, we got to come back with some grace. But Jesus then goes to that most important question that brings it right dead center to where we are. Who do you say that I am? Forget about the person you met on the metro. Forget about the airport. Forget about your neighbor. But who do you say Christ is? And I like the fact that at first, the day responded because he asked the day. But we all know Peter. Quick draw Peter. Right? Always ready to give an answer to the question. Oh, we can learn a lesson from Peter now. Be ready to tell people who Jesus is to you. I thought I'd get more than one of those all rights. Because if there's any easy question to answer for the believer, it's who Jesus is. I don't know how many animals got on the ark. I don't know what kind of dirt it sat on. I don't know all these other things that you hear floating around. But I do know who Jesus is. And Peter says it so quickly. Thou art the Son of the living God. Thou art the Son of the living God. So when you get into all these deep theological questions and people try to make your head hurt, say, I know that he's the Son of the living God. I know that he saved me from my old life of mine. Don't get wrapped up in meaningless conversations, y'all. Stay focused on who Jesus is. Who is Jesus to you? Peter. And then Christ comes back and said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. But my Father in heaven. And then he says, Peter, you are the rock. And upon this rock I will build my church. And the very gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In my reading, when I hear the term rock, I go back to the story in Matthew, I believe it's the 27th chapter, where it talks about the man who decided to build his house on the sand and on the rock. And the man that built his house on the rock, y'all, when the winds came, when the rain came, when the storm came, that house was still standing because it was built on the rock. But the other fellow, who didn't watch YouTube, decided to build his house on the sand. When the same storm came, when the same rain came, that house fell. And great was the fall of it. So we got to build our faith on the rock of Christ Jesus. Because all of the ground is sinking sand, y'all. Am I right about it this morning? I'm getting to the close to the end here. Says the gates of hell shall not prevail. I'm going to say this in the most loving, compassionate way I can. So if you're streaming, don't stop streaming. If you're here, don't walk out. But hell does exist. That's a place where weeping and gnashing of teeth. I just want to say that. Because I know that some people don't believe it. And I recognize that our ancestors might have went a little bit too heavy on the hell sauce. Let me back that up. Our ancestors might have went a little bit too heavy on the hell sauce. But guess what, y'all? Their theology was not wrong. We just got to tell people a little bit more about the goodness of the Lord. We cannot walk around saying, I'm okay, you're okay. Hell does exist. But the gates of hell shall not prevail. When we're standing on the rock of Jesus, I don't care what the devil throws at you, it ain't going to prevail. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Can I get a witness in the building this morning? Keys to the kingdom of heaven. I've gotten a lot of keys in my life. I got the keys to my first car. It was a good moment. I remember when Brenda and I got the keys to our first apartment. Praise the Lord. I remember we got the keys to the first house that we bought. I remember when you so graciously gave me the keys to the office next door. And those are all wonderful experiences, but those keys are limited. When we get to the keys to the kingdom of heaven, see, I believe prayer is one of those keys. Prayer provides unlimited access to the goodness of the Lord. Am I right about it this morning? So don't walk around keyless, y'all. In conclusion, I tell you, I started off by asking the questions, who is Jesus to you? And I know some of you probably immediately had a response in your mind and in your heart. But I think it's important for me to tell you who Jesus is to me. And I'm going to do it in the fashion that when I sing and nobody's around. Oh, y'all don't hear me this morning. You ever been, you know you can't sing a lick. Can I sing Brenda Gaines? Can I go ahead and sing? You ever been in that moment where you begin to sing from the very essence of who you are? You could win an Oscar, Grammy, all that stuff in one fatal swoop. Because you feel like it's just you and you alone by yourself. What I'm going to do, I'm going to go into my prayer room. I'm going to close my eyes and pretend I don't see none of your smiling faces. And I'm going to tell you who Jesus is to me. So I'm in my room and Jesus, he is my lily in the valley. He is my bright and morning star. He is my comforter when I feel like I'm all alone. He's water when I'm thirsty. You see, I'm in my room now, and I don't see anybody frowning at me. I don't see anybody looking different at me. And I'm just telling you who Jesus is to me. He is the one that brought me out of the muck and the mire. He is the one that has forgiven me of all of my sins, y'all. That's who Jesus is to me. No. I got to come out the room, y'all. I got to open my eyes, y'all. And I got to tell you now, he is my walker and my talker. For he walks with me and he talks with me. He is the wonderful counselor. He is my bright and morning star. That's who Jesus is to me, y'all. Who is Jesus to you? Would you stand with me this morning? Who is Jesus to you? As we get ready to approach here, coming Easter, it's all about Jesus. I challenge you, every time somebody asks you a question, throw Jesus in there somewhere. They talk about the weather, but Jesus is good. Talk about the traffic, but Jesus gave me a new car. Talk about the yard, but Jesus is growing the grass. I dare us on this upcoming month to make Jesus the center of our conversation. Am I right about it this morning? Because you and I know, or should know, that the only reason that we're here is because Christ saved us. Saved us from that old life that we used to have. washed us and made us new. Y'all know we were tore up from the floor up. Just a hot mess. We are not perfect in this church. No, the church is perfect until we walk in it. That's where Jesus comes in. The Son of the living God. The one who knew no sin, but became sin for us, took on upon the sin for us, that we might have a right to the tree of life. And Easter ought not be the only day that Jesus permeates our conversation. I said early on, I was going to be repetitive. And I've been repetitive. And I'm going to continue to be repetitive. Because Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. Let's give the Lord a hand, praise. We've come to a point in time where the question that I started off asking each of you and those online as well is, who is Jesus to you? And if for a split second your thought was, I don't know, now is the time. Now is the time for you to get a clear answer on who Jesus is to you. So if you're here today and don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior, you don't have to walk down these aisles per se, because Jesus will meet you right where you are. Whether you're sitting back here, online, over there, Jesus will meet you right where you are. If you want to accept the Lord as your personal Savior, you can hold your hand up right where you are, and God will do it right where you are. And if you're online, you can put it in the chat and say, I want to accept the Lord as my personal Lord and Savior. Won't you make that decision today?